last several months, it seems like every day, I don't know if you're like me, you know, some of my family said, this is driving you crazy. And it really is. And if you're like me, it seems like every day, either the governor, the president, the CDC, somebody somewhere, the reporters, it's like some new thing that just makes me frustrated or discouraged or depressed or makes my eyes drop. And in fact, I think somebody said this morning in church, man, I'm just tired of this, just over this. And I think many of us in these last several months, I don't think most of us would have ever anticipated being where we're at. And if we're not careful, I don't know if you're like me, and if you're not, this may not bother you, but if we're not careful, our eyes will get down. We'll start looking down. We never look up. And the scripture gives us an admonition several places. In fact, I'm not going to get to all of them tonight, where the Word of God gives a description of lifted up eyes. Now, not always when eyes were lifted up is it in the positive. We'll look at a couple of negative ones. But this lifting of the eyes has the idea tonight in scripture. Not what I think, but what scripture teaches us is seeing the very presence and the very essence of God. Sometimes that can bring great blessing and great help and great hope as if we lift up our eyes. It could be, I hope it's the case, that through this pandemic and political turmoil and national whatever it is that's going on around us, we can't hardly understand it all, that it has caused many Christians to get back to lifting up our eyes to the Lord. I think we ought to lift up our voice to the Lord. I lift up our life to the Lord. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw men unto me. And that would be a good thing if that's what comes out of this. But when we look in Scripture, we see this statement, lifted up eyes. And you may be here tonight or listening to this because, you know, folks will listen to this later maybe, and you need to hear something about lifting up your eyes. Because we go to work and maybe go to school if you're able to or live your everyday life. And if you're not careful, it's just the grind every day. You know, it's the Monday grind. It's the Tuesday schedule. It's the, you know, next thing you know, it's another Monday again. You get through the weekend, Monday again. It's the same. It just seems like it's from one day to the next. If you're not careful, you get in that grind and you'll get in a rut and you'll just stay there and you'll start to look down. And we see that God's choice servants in the Word of God did this. Now, I want to begin tonight in Genesis chapter 13. We're going to look at the first two. I've got about seven of these. And the first one now is going to be a negative one, but then we're going to back it up with a positive one. We see in Genesis chapter 13, if you're there, say amen. The Bible says this. Look down at verse 10 in Genesis chapter 13. And again, as I preach, always say this, and I'll say it again tonight. Whenever anybody preaches or teaches the Word of God, always read the verses around. Always read the chapters around. If they're preaching and teaching the Word and the truth, all it'll do if you study the Word is make that verse, either you'll find out the preacher wasn't preaching straight or it'll make the sermon even stronger. And let's look at verse 10 of Genesis chapter 13. And of course, this is the account of Lot and Abraham. And the Bible says in verse 10, and Lot, what's his next four words? Lifted up his eyes. Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And so we're going to look at this one first, and this would be the lifted eyes, or the eyes that are lifted up in the state of backsliding. Now again, not all of these will be positive, even though here we see that Lot literally, he practically lifts up his eyes and he beholds the plain of Jordan and he realizes that in his fleshly mind and heart, he would rather have what the world has than what God has. And so he lifts up his eyes and sees something. And we're going to look at a couple more of these that are not necessarily positive. But we see here that he lifts up his eyes in backsliding. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. And Lot wanted that. He did not submit to the Lord here. He did not look to the Lord here, but he did lift up his eyes. So we're living in a world where people are lifting up their eyes and they're looking at a lot of things. They're looking at to the left and to the right. If you remember, God told Joshua, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but to meditate on my word day and night. And let me tell you, when times get tough and times get hard around you, whatever the situation may be, it can be quite hard to not look to the left or look to the right. It can be, it'll cause you to slow down in your walk with the Lord. Believe it or not, I used to run track. And one of the things, don't y'all laugh too hard there, but one of the things that we learned in track is you never look to the left or right, especially if you're running a sprint. Because if you look to the left or right, the person on the other side, he's going to get by you. It happens all the time. You see it and you may have seen it in sports yourself or in the Olympics. You don't want to look to the left or to the right because you'll always slow down. And here Lot, he does that. He looks and backslides. He lifts up his eyes in a negative way. But I want you to drop right down here, number two tonight. I want you to drop right down to verse 14. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, and there's a separation that takes place, and Lot goes, Lot chose him all the plain, verse 11 of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated themselves from one the other. Lot separates from who God had put in his life. And the Bible says in verse 14, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now, what? Thine eyes. And look for the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And so we see the first eyes lifted up is backsliding, but here we see the lifted eyes of faith. And this is the beauty tonight. This is what I wanted us to see. While we do have the negative time of lifting up our eyes in Scripture, the ones that I wanted to really focus on tonight, church, is the lifting up of the eyes of faith. And here we see Abram, and this time, at this time he was Abram, not Abraham yet. I like what the old preacher said, he hadn't got a ham put on his name yet. But here's the beginning of this. And God tells Abraham, he says, for the land which thou seest to thee, will I give it and to thy seed forever. What a great promise that Abraham receives right here. And this is he tells Abraham to lift up his eyes. Now, it is going to be impossible almost, humanly speaking, for us to see that way. He may have been able to see a certain distance. I don't know if you've ever been where it's, you know, we're here in the mountains. We are Highlanders. We don't really understand being able to, you know, if we see across the holler, we're doing pretty good. We sit up in our yard where we live, and sometimes I can see Brother Kevin's car going, or I can see my in-law, I can see the neighbor's lights, or I can see the road, but that's about as far as I can see. But if you live somewhere where it's flat, you can see a long ways. You go out in the Midwest, you can see, you know, the next town, you can see the lights of the next town over. It might be 20 miles if it's a beautiful day, you might be able to see. So it's hard. We can't understand being able to see with our eyes, but just to a certain extent, it's hard for us to describe it. I know I've been with Brother Eric Porterfield and tried to describe seeing something. I said, Eric, I'm sorry, please don't be offended, but I just can't put this into words. And that's what's taking place here. But God tells Abraham to look up and said, unto thy seed forever. You cannot see forever. He did it by faith. He trusted God. He could not understand what was going to take place. And by the way, that's still going on and will go on. And we see that you and I tonight, we don't want to have the eyes of backsliding. Well, those seem to be everywhere. But we want to have the eyes of faith, of trusting God and looking at these things that we're going through. And I'm like everybody else, or maybe you're not like me. Maybe you've not struggled with this as much as I have. But I think, Lord, what's going to happen next? What are we going to do? And I've had some of those times where I'm like, what in the world? This world is, you know, we used to say it growing up, going to hell in a handbasket. How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? And we look around and we wonder, what can we do and how can we do and what's next? But guess what? God tells Abraham, lift up your eyes. Lift up now thine eyes. Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw something. And if you read the account, it looks like that Lot is winning the day here. I remember when I first read this, it looks like that Lot's getting the better land and the better deal, so to speak. And it's easy sometimes, if you're like me, to look around and it seems like some people, well, they're just getting a better deal. It seems like it's going, I mean, you know, we're living in a time now where people are getting away from church, getting away from the Bible. America's kind of sliding away. Our churches are shrinking. And It looks like sometimes that we are on the losing side, but I want to remind us tonight, you and I, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, are on the winning side. I thank God tonight for that, no matter how it may look or how it may appear. And so we see, secondly, these eyes of faith. Will you take your Bible, please, and just turn over a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 2. I believe I'm right. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 2. And again, I won't get into all the details of these verses. I'm going to give you a few more of these and we'll go home. The Bible says, And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Here we see the lifted up eyes of worship. He lifted up his eyes and then he bowed himself. There is a posture, I believe, to prayer. I think you can lift up holy hands, you can lift up your face to heaven, but if you really understand who God is, it automatically will say, with every head bowed and every eye closed. There's a reverence that comes when you lift up your eyes to the Lord. You immediately think, oh, who am I to even look, to even think in that way? You and I need tonight, I know I want tonight, to have eyes that are lifted up in worship. He lifted up his eyes and then bowed himself. In fact, did you know tonight when you lift up your eyes to the Lord, there's a humility that comes because you realize how unclean and vile and wretched all of us are. And we bow ourselves and say, Lord, when I see you for who you are and I see me for who I am, I cannot help but worship you. In fact, the great pride of mankind is that he doesn't need God, or that he doesn't need to worship God. And you'll notice we live in a world, even in America, where we have secularized the two greatest holidays. They're doing their best they can to secularize Easter, and it's very hard for them to do it. But we've secularized even Christmas. You can go through a whole Christmas season and never hardly hear anybody mention Jesus Christ. They have a hard time with it. It's hard to sing Christmas songs. It's hard to have a birthday party and not bring up who it's about. How do you know we're living in that world tonight? And the reason is because we really don't want to worship this King. And I remind us all tonight, we know this, I know I'm talking to the crowd tonight, but he is the King of Kings. And if you remember when he was being crucified, they said, well, put up there that he said he was the King. And one day say, what I have written, I have written. And let God's word stand. And here's the thing tonight, church. You and I need to lift up our eyes. And when we do lift up our eyes, we'll bow ourselves. I believe tonight we need to get back to worshiping God. Church needs to be more than just numbers. It needs to be more than just some agenda, some whatever. It needs to get back to worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to be a house of worship, a house of prayer. What do we do when we pray tonight? Brother Aker led us in prayer. We prayed, maybe you prayed together with him, and we went to the Lord and said, Lord, we need you for these that have cancer. We need you to do what only you can do. We need your comfort for these families that are hurting. We need you to intervene and help us. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your love. We need you. God, we need you tonight. And the way, how do we do that? We lift up our eyes to the Lord. You know, we lift up our eyes to, we've got a big problem in America. We got a big problem in our communities. We got a big problem even right here in our area. We lift up our eyes to the government. We lift up our eyes to money. We lift up our eyes to agendas and all kinds of whatevers. And by the way, I'm not saying this against any individual tonight. I'm just saying we as a whole lift up our eyes. We're going to have to get back to lifting up our eyes to the Lord. C.S. Lewis writes it in this way. He talks about how if you have a desire for something in this world that just can't satisfy you, when you finally get that and it doesn't satisfy you, it's because God put in you a desire that this world cannot satisfy. And the only thing that can satisfy that is our Lord. You're not really living. You don't really know who you are until you know the Lord. People talk about going to find themselves. The only way that you can really find yourself is to come to worship the Lord. Lot thought he was going to do better, but Abraham had the relationship with God. So here we see eyes of backsliding, eyes of faith, eyes of worship. Let's look over to another one here in the book of Numbers real quickly. Number 4 in the book of Numbers. And again, I don't want to take it out of context. I will just a little bit here, but I want you to look at another place. We see eyes, lifted up eyes of appreciation. I mentioned this a little bit last Sunday night. I don't know how anybody can look at a sunset or a sunrise and not praise God. How can somebody look at a waterfall and not praise the Lord? I had taken the kids home from school here, about a month ago, back when we had the big rainstorm, and right here in Pipestem, the creek was roaring at the Pipestem Falls, and I kind of act like a tourist, and I pulled off the side and I took a video. Man, I had everybody say, "Where's that at?" I said, "In Pipestem." Something that pretty is in Pipestem? Absolutely. God's blessed us tonight, right, church? I mean, it's been a blessing. And we have eyes of I just wanted to stop and say, "Lord, what a blessing that is." And it was roaring and just the sound of it. It was neat. It's interesting. Bible says this in Numbers 24, verse 1. "And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam," look at verse 2, "lifted up his eyes." We see that statement again. "He lifted his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel. And he realized that God was doing what only God can do." When you see it, when you see that mama with that newborn baby, when you see, like I mentioned, the sunset or the sunrise, when you see that even God's creation, it screams at us, it yells at us. When we look at the scriptures and when we study God's word, it's God shouting to us. And sometimes, you know, church, what Satan does to most of us, you may not be this way, but we get so busy and we get such full calendars. It's hard not to in the world in which we live. And sometimes we stop and we don't look up. We don't stop and lift up our eyes. And again, I think this is a term that's used to looking to the Lord, to really seeing God. And by the way, you can look up and not have great vision. You can look up and be blind. You can still look up to the Lord. And here he looks up and he has these eyes of appreciation. I think the question needs to be tonight, I've grown myself to say, you know what, I didn't really appreciate how great it was to just be able to sing without feeling guilty. I didn't realize how great it was to shake somebody's hand or to have a conversation where we wasn't 10 feet apart, amen? And we forgot how great it is to do just basic, simple things. And it's made me realize how good God's been to us and how much God has blessed us. Eyes of appreciation. Let's look at another one here in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Is everybody all right? Good. I won't keep you long. So he's lifted up eyes of backsliding. He's lifted up eyes of faith, of worship, of appreciation. And look at Joshua chapter 5. And I want to begin at verse 13. Joshua chapter 5. I love the book of Joshua. I've preached through the book of Joshua twice. One time just on the radio, I preached through the whole book of Joshua. I used to say it was my favorite book. It's still in my top 66. Amen? Y'all all right? Y'all, that was pretty funny. But anyway, Joshua chapter 5, look at verse 13. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes." What did he do? He lifted up his eyes. Isn't that beautiful? He lifted up his eyes and looked. "And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but verse 14, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua argued and debated." No, what did he do? He did so. He did so. He did not question. He did not make a blog. He did not make a site. He didn't do a podcast. He did what God said to do. Let me say something. We see here eyes. He lifted up his eyes and we see submission. This is a pre-Bethlehem appearance of our Lord. Some call it a Christophany. We see this is the Lord of hosts, the captain of the Lord of hosts is our Savior tonight. And here we see he lifted up eyes and he submitted. In fact, can I say this to you tonight? You're not really seeing the Lord the way he high and lifted up if you're not submitting to him. If you don't see the Lord high and lifted up, if you're not submitting to him. Here recently, I don't know why, but somebody asked me a question about national anthems, and I looked up the British national anthem. And the British national anthem is about the Queen, and it's basically this: we submit to our Queen, God save the Queen. Now, I think it ought to be Hail Britannia, because that's really the national song, but that's the national anthem. And what they're doing is they are lifting up their Queen, and they are saying as a nation, now, we don't do that here. We talk about the land that I love. We talk about the Star Spangled Banner, our flag. That is our anthem. We have a different anthem. In fact, we took the Queen's national anthem and sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Y'all remember that? That's a great act of patriotism we did. But they lift up the Queen as their sovereign. And we when we hear that, now we may appreciate that, but we don't bow to a queen in America. We don't do that. Amen? We don't have a sovereign. Our sovereign is the Lord. But when we look up and see the Lord high lifted up, we ought to submit. They say that when you walk away from the Queen, you're not supposed to turn your back. That you're supposed to walk backwards. That you're not. That's an act of rebellion. That's the way we treat another human being. Can you imagine how we ought to treat God? And we don't always look. We don't want to always submit. We think it's cool to be rebellious. And here Joshua lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, the captain of the Lord, the captain of the host of the Lord. And so we see these lifted eyes of submission. And let's look at a couple more here tonight. Let's go all the way over to the New Testament. It's just some thoughts. I hope it'll help you tonight. I hope it'll encourage you tonight. If you've had your eyes down, well, it's easy to get them down. It's easy to have eyes that are backsliding. But we need to have eyes of faith, eyes of worship, eyes of appreciation, eyes of submission. And I want you to look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. Oh my, here's some eyes. Oh wow. This is beautiful. Can you imagine this? This is fantastic. In Luke chapter 6, verse 20, when you get there, say amen. Oh, how beautiful this is. Underline this in your Bible. Note this in your Bible. Let this sink down into your soul. The Bible says, and he, and of course that he there is none other than our Lord and Savior, the perfect virgin-born Son of God. And he, what? Lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, and oh, what did he say? He begins right here. I think it's just, I mean, it puts chills down my back. It has changed my life. It has changed this world, what our Savior begins to expound. And he goes, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And he begins here to start saying words that, friends, there's never been words quite said like these. I submit to you tonight that the world, hey, there is nothing as powerful as what that right there is. It is literally nation changing. You want to know what America needs tonight? America needs, starting right here and keep reading. That's what America needs. What our churches need, what Summers and Mercer County need. Now look, I know we need safety. I know I believe in military, and I think we ought to have the right people in power and all those types of things if you want to ask me personally. But what America really needs, not what I need and what you need, is this right here. I remember when I first read that as a young Christian, I thought, oh my, oh how I falling short. Oh, thank you, God, that you died on the cross for me. Thank you, God, that you have lived this for me. And he lifted up his eyes. These are the eyes of blessing. Or the eyes, as one writer said, the eyes of benediction. Can you imagine hearing that flow off the lips of our Savior? Look, it goes on, verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you. But he begins by that. He looks up and he sees them with his eyes. Man, what a sight. What a beautiful thing that it is. And I really encourage you. to read all these verses. I promise you, you can do no wrong by reading these. You'll come out on the other side way better. So we see these eyes of backsliding, of faith, of worship, of appreciation, of submission. These eyes of blessing. But then I want you to know one more tonight. And this one, and I'm notorious for this, and I'll do it again, I guess, but I'm going to end on a negative. I don't want to, but I'm going to because the Bible tells us this. Let's look at Luke chapter 16 because I preached pretty positive today, I think. But I want to end on, and it's not me, it's what God's Word says. In Luke chapter 16, we do see some other eyes that are lifted. In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, and I think sometimes people need the old-fashioned fear of God put in them, and we see it in Luke chapter 16, verse 23. In verse 19, in Luke 16, it says, and of course our Savior is teaching here, he says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain man, beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And look what verse 23 says, a very sad statement, a very sad lifting up the eyes. It says, and in hell he what? Lift up his eyes. Being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. Most of us know this passage. That he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Part of the torment is he lifted up his eyes. This tonight, if we talk about these being backsliding eyes and eyes of faith, eyes of worship, eyes of submission, eyes of blessing, here we see the eyes of despair. Now, sadly tonight, there's going to be many, maybe some in our loved ones, some in our families, some in our community, that they're going to lift up their eyes. And they're going to see something that does not need to be this way. You see, if I go back to Luke chapter 6, verse 20, my Lord is showing me it doesn't have to be this way. If I go to John chapter 3, my Lord is telling me it doesn't have to be this way. If I read Scripture, the Scripture tells me that it doesn't have to be this way. If I read my Bible, the Bible tells me it does not have to be like the rich man and beggar. But there is going to come a time for many. In fact, the Bible says there's few that find the narrow way, but there's many that go the broad way. And the many will lift up their eyes in despair. We ought to be burdened tonight. We ought to give tonight. We ought to get involved tonight because Summers County, Mercer County, whatever other county that we can reach and I believe all of us would agree with this, is bent on this destruction, and they're going to lift up their eyes. I know people make fun of the church. They make fun of the Bible. They make fun of preachers. They make fun of Christmas. They make fun of everything. But here the Bible declares to us that there's going to be eyes that are lifted up in despair. What a sad thing that would be. I don't know about you, but I want everybody to be able to lift up their eyes in worship. I don't know about you, but one of the great glories of heaven, one of the great blessings of heaven is to be able to see our Lord and be with our loved ones and get all the blessings of heaven. And the Bible says it's not even into the heart of man, in the mind of man, what God has in store for those that love Him. We have no clue. It's hard for us just to imagine how good heaven, wonderful heaven. The Bible says heaven be far better. That's the eyes that I don't know about you all, but I want my family, my friends, your family, your friend. Hey, folks that we don't know. We're praying for folks tonight that we've never met. Why? Why do we do that? Because we want their eyes to look up and see the Lord. What I want for our church more than anything, and look, I want to grow. I want to be able to pay the bills. I mean, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to have some more money myself. I get all those things. That's fine. But what do we really want as a church? What do we really want as believers? What do I really want my boys and my daughter? What do I really want my grandchildren? It's to see with their eyes the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up in our lives, in the life of this church, in the life of our community. What the world needs to see from our churches in the midst of a pandemic, or hey, let me say something to you, when the pandemic lifts and everybody gets back to normal, I hope we don't just say, well, forget God, we're going to go back, we're going to party now. I hope that we still lift up the Lord and say, we're going to lift up your precious and holy name. so that every eye can see. I say to you tonight, the Bible says this, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There's going to come a time, friend, that everybody's going to see and know. When he comes again, he's going to be coming in power. And thank God for that. What a day that'll be when my Jesus, you remember the words of that song? I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promise, what a day, glorious day that will be. Thank God for all these places. And I would encourage you tonight to look at all these places in Scripture where you and I can lift up our eyes. I want to encourage you. We look around at maybe your job situation, politics, oh my, my. We watch the news, I won't even turn it on there anymore. We hear the reports. This week, I guarantee you, I'll watch the governor. And sometimes I'll catch myself. I'll walk out of the school. I'll get in that little gold minivan, belongs to the church. My eyes are like this. And I'll come up the sidewalk into our house, and my eyes will be down like this. Sometimes I'm sure Miss Cindy says, oh no, what happened now? Every time my phone rings, I'm like, oh, what is it? I think we're all in that way. And if we're not careful, we'll get to where our eyes are down all the time and we forget we can look up to the Lord from whence cometh our help. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Can I say to us, church, tonight in this Christmas season, may we put our eyes back upon our Lord. And I think tonight I'm looking at a crowd that wants that in your life. Let's all stand tonight, church, with every head bowed and eye closed. Heavenly Father, we sure thank you tonight for just these few places that we've looked at. And Lord, I pray you'd encourage.